It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. Quarter number two, Greg Pickle, Ross Tucker, I'm Andy Shea. We are going to do a three-quarter marathon. Are you gentlemen ready?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
We're going to do Penn State's depth chart for the rest of the show. We're going to start on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to talk about a lot of names you know, some of the names you might not know. We're going to give some of our thoughts and analysis on it. We're going to go across the board, position by position, and just have some fun. So let's start start on offense, and let's start with tight end. Because who knows, right? I'll follow Penn State's depth chart and say Danny Dalton's at the top of the list. Who's your number one healthy and whole, maybe, is a thought. Or what do you think of the two new guys, you know, between Freiermuth and Kuntz? Who you got over there? Right now, Penn State says it's Danny Dalton. The rest of it is really and literally who knows. So healthy and whole, who you got, Ross? Healthy and whole. We know Nick Bowers and John Holland have been hurt.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the initial impressions that they made, and I would go with Bowers.
Interesting.
I would just say one thing's been pretty clear about Penn State over the years, whether it's like Michael Mennett or Christian Campbell or any of these guys, that if you get banged up and you miss time, it's hard to catch up. It's hard to make up that time. So I'd have to say Danny Dalton is the leader in the clubhouse just because he was actually there in the spring. He got all those reps.
Right.
They have to have – so I don't know enough about how Danny Dalton did, and maybe Greg knows in the spring. If Danny Dalton took advantage of those reps, then he's going to be way ahead of those guys, and the coaching staff trusts him more. Could have been the opposite, though. Danny Dalton could have really struggled, and they could know, okay, well, we know this guy with more reps isn't the guy we want.
Yeah, I think that when I look at it, it's Danny Dalton without question. I mean, Nick Bowers and John Holland weren't healthy enough. I just can't get over Pat Freiermuth. He enrolls for the summer semester. Guys, I just really like his game. If Danny Dalton is not the starter, I think it's Pat. I do. And I think Zach Kuntz will be used as a red zone potential guy, a guy you can use in certain situations. I don't think that –
You don't think they redshirt either tight end?
No. Which of the three currently there, Holland, Bowers, and Dalton, do you feel the most comfortable about? None of the three can prove that they can stay
healthy. Well, Holland did some good things in the spring game. They were talking him up last spring a little bit.
Yeah, I just the health of those guys.
Like Bowers a lot as a true freshman. They were talking him up on scout team.
They just can't
and
stay
stuff.
Healthy. I think based on health issues alone, at least one of those guys has to have his red shirt burned. As well, if they can stay healthy.
Well, and then that becomes, in my mind, do they want the bigger body kid that's more ready to block in Freiermuth, or do they want the red zone freak show in Kuntz?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be more a stylistic thing. And by the way, this is where Penn State was at a lot of positions when Franklin took over.
Correct.
Where it was like, we got to pull red shirts. We got to have true freshman play. They've tried to get to the point where they really only want to play true freshmen if the guy is just so good that they can't keep him off the field. I almost feel like now, Greg, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like they try not to have a true freshman play unless either they absolutely have to at the position or they really think the kid's good enough that he might only be there for 4 years or even three.
Right.
And like, let's get something out of, you know, Etor Gross Matos and Tariq Castro Field, because they didn't really need those guys last year.
Yeah.
I just think that they thought they were that good and that we might not have this guy for that long. Might as well take advantage of him.
Yeah, to me, you might have that kind of impact with these two guys, but more than anything, it goes back to your first point. I just see the health being a problem. I think you might need those guys simply based on the fact that Dalton, Bowers, and Holland, while all three have shown flashes of talent, they have not proven they can stay healthy for the course of a season.
Two unique talents, both top 10 tight ends coming in, true freshmen. Maybe the combo of the two fills the one role. All right, let's keep moving on. Let's go to quarterback. We're sticking on offense. Trace McSorley, obviously, is your starter. Tommy Stevens, the Lion, backup quarterback, red zone threat, can play like four different positions. Sean Clifford, I feel this might be one of the best 1-2 combos in the country. It's a top three in my book between McSorley and Stevens as a 1-2 punch at the quarterback position.
I'd agree with that.
Across the country, it might even be first or second. But
I think Penn State might have the best quarterback situation in the country.
They might. And
I mean, I don't know. Who else is even up there, I guess.
Right. And if you look at it, so say something happens to Tommy Stevens. I'm just throwing out a scenario. And he's playing some tight end. He's playing some H-back. He's playing some running back. They're using a 2 quarterback, and something happens to him. And then Trace gets hurt. Do you really think Penn State has a problem with Sean Clifford as a third?
No, I think they like Clifford as a third.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think they're happy with him.
Look at this position.
My question is for Greg would be, when does Penn State try to move on from Jake Zembeck? Or when does Jake Zembeck try to move on from Penn State?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I don't really know, though. I mean,
he knows that Clifford's ahead of him now, right?
Yeah.
Clifford's younger than him.
Right. I mean,
if you're Zembeck, like, what are you?
Yeah, the writing is on the wall. There's no question about it. The thing I wonder is, does Penn State, does it feel good about it's going to, have other guys leave and it'll be under the 85? Because if so, you keep him. He does scout team. He does signals on game day. And, you get out of him what you can get out of him. Is he ever going to be a guy that takes significant snaps? If that's the case, Penn State's in pretty big trouble at the quarterback position. So, yeah, it's a fair question. I don't know what his desires are, though. Does he want to go somewhere and try and start? Or does he just want to get his degree and fight for whatever time he can and do this kind of off-field stuff that every program needs but not too many guys want to do? I think that's what the question comes down to.
Yeah.
In Zembeck's also been helped.
I would say at a minimum, that's a conversation that they have.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
The coaching staff has it, and they have it with Zembeck and just say, look, Jake, the way it's looking, it's unlikely you're going to play here.
Right.
The other thing is, in a pinch, if something really, really bad happened, would they put Schuster or Zembeck on the field? The walk-on Michael Schuster? Or would they put Zembeck on the field if they had to?
Or true freshman Will Levis.
Or do you put Will Levis on the field? All right, let's move on. We're going to keep this moving as best as we can. But
this is a great idea. Whose idea was this?
It was Jim's.
Our boss, Jim.
It was our boss, Jim.
It was.
Well done, Jim. Great idea. All right, let's go to running back. Miles Sanders, Mark Allen. Right? 1-2. We haven't brought Ricky Slade into the equation yet, but based on where we're at right now, you would say Miles Sanders and Mark Allen. I love Mark Allen and see the field, but then you get this third wheel brought in of stud freshman Ricky Slade, and it becomes a stronger position, but does that muddy the water in any way, shape, or form? I don't know. But I don't think Journey Brown and Jonathan Smith showed enough in the spring to show that they're viable second options.
Jonathan Thomas.
Better second options than Mark Allen, obviously. And Ricky Slade has more talent than both of them. But it's not a position of desperation, but it's a position that's going to look a lot different because of some guy who wore 26.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to redshirt Slade. I think he's going to play. I guess I'm curious, Greg, because I know Greg covers a team every day, how they feel about Journey Brown. How do you think they feel about Journey Brown?
Well, I think it was interesting. He was speaking to an Erie television station not too long ago and basically kind of hinted at the fact that he felt like the coaching change from Charles Huff to Jaywon Sider set him back a little bit, because I think he was just getting down all of Charles Huff's nuances and the things that he wants and things like that. And then new guy comes in, and let's be honest, he was not, it's not that he was a track guy in football pads. I mean, he put up some stats and he did some things that were just outrageous, but I don't think there's any argument from him or from anybody that he had to refine and really figure out the really intricate details of being a college
running back. He's not a natural runner
right.
of football.
So
he's a natural athlete, but when you watch his high school tape and then compare it to like Devin Ford, who we talked about in Tucker's tape, it's not close. And Journey Brown's a better athlete.
Right.
Journey Brown's a freak. But it just – the cutting and the vision just does not come naturally for him, which I think is part of the reason why he didn't really have that many offers.
Right.
Yeah. And part of that's because he's from Meadville and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
and he's been pretty, very open about the fact that he didn't keep his academic house in order necessarily, so that didn't help either. So you put those three things together, and no question, there's a reason he was there for the taking for Penn State late in the process. But I think he's a guy that once he gets the track, and Saquon Barkley had a big role in sort of helping mentor him, as did Miles Sanders and as did Andre Robinson and all these other guys. So I think there's a role for him. Is it as a kick returner? Is it as a running back? I don't know, but you can't deny the speed that he has. And let's look at Trey Apke as one example. I mean, he just ran himself into a day three NFL draft pick in a lot of ways. But certainly I did find interesting the fact that Journey Brown made pretty clear that, you know, he was learning, or he didn't say this, I'm paraphrasing or reading between the lines of his statement, but Charles Huff was teaching one thing and now Jaywon Sider's probably teaching another, and he's still trying to get all that squared.
Well, and I can point out from my experience playing for five teams, 9 different offensive line coaches, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a skill. Your technique and your skill is a big part of it, and you're working something. You're perfecting it. You know, you're getting better and better and better. And all of a sudden, they want you to change it. That was – I never would have been more than average anyway, but – That was a hurdle to overcome in my striving towards mediocrity.
This position is not bereft of talent, is it? Running back? Well, it's just unknown.
I don't think it's as deep as you would think a Penn State would be. I think that they have one guy that is a Big Ten quality starting running back right now. Now, when they get Ricky Slade, they probably have two.
Right.
But that's asking a true freshman to do that. And we also don't know how well Miles Sanders is going to hold up, you know, with a significantly increased workload.
Right. And does he have a long leash to start having an impact? Not Saquon Barkley impact, but how long of a leash does he have? So, all right, you're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by the Keystone Sports Network on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. A couple more positions on the offensive side of the ball. We'll start wide receivers. Do you want to do wide receivers or offensive line, gents? I'll give you guys a pick.
Viewer's choice. Let's do receivers.
Let's do receivers. Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, Brandon Polk. All going to play, correct?
Yes.
They're all going to play.
The question is how much Brandon Polk plays, I think.
How much Brandon Polk plays. Or the question could be how much does Justin Shorter impact everything, and how much do KJ Hamler, Mack Hippenhammer, and a guy like Cam Sullivan Brown see the field?
Like, I mean, I feel like Hippenhammer and Hamler, certainly Hippenhammer in that blue-white game, already almost showed us more than we've ever really seen from Polk.
You know? I agree.
I mean, I don't know. For a guy that, like, plays baseball, and I feel like they've already shown more than Polk has.
Yeah. I feel like Brandon Polk, the stigma of him being jet sweep guy with John Donovan just has never washed away. And he was hurt then last year, and I know he's sort of been the talk of spring a little bit, but I'm with you, Ross. I need to see more before I buy into it. And look, I mean, the guys on the roster, KJ Hamler, Mack Hippenhammer, they're great. I want to see what Justin Shorter does in camp. That's sort of what I'm waiting for at this point. And we know about all the guys you mentioned as well.
Yeah, I think they've got some experience. They've got a wealth of talent. You could honestly say that this position is 6 or 7 deep.
Yeah, this position I think they should feel really good about.
I think this is a position.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we're alternating. Tight end, not so good. Quarterback, very good. Running back, not so good. Wide receiver, very good.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number 2. We'll continue our conversation coming up next.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.